Hello, good morning, and welcome to Oh Boy, the podcast.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Okay.
We're rising and shining together.
Rise and shine.
Oh, I kind of forgot all about that.
I didn't.
Oh, God.
I never do. I'll never forget. I just shared something about that yesterday. Did you?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Like a TikTok or something on your story, an old pic?
No. Not a queen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. So it is Alexa's birthday week. HBD.
Woo.
Guys, I'm going to be 30 in like 3 days.
That's literally so old.
I know.
30, flirty, and thriving.
I've waited my whole life to say that.
You gotta check you into a museum soon.
What?
You gotta check you into a museum.
Okay.
Oh my god.
See how nice I am next year when you turn 30.
I don't turn 30 next year.
You're turning 29 this year.
Oh.
You do turn 30 next year.
Turn 30 next year.
Wait, I do, right?
You do turn 30 next year.
That's kind of key.
Oh my god.
Joe is going to literally be this young, fresh-looking child. We're going to be in our mid-30s.
Literally 23.
Barely rolling up on his late 20s when we're like in our mid-30s.
When Joe was 7, I was twice his age.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Hate
when
that.
He was 7, I was 14.
Really hate that.
Double. Generations.
Hmm.
Father, son.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, there is a question to kick us off today. It is, if you have your birthday in quarantine, how would you celebrate?
Well, I am having my birthday in quarantine.
Yeah, I guess that kind of like hits.
And I already had mine in quarantine.
Wait, Joe, what did you do?
What did I do? I stayed at home. I baked cookies. I got nicely. We had some beverages, and that was pretty much
you
it.
Don't think about alcohol? Are you?
Maybe.
Oh no.
Beverages. Well, for me, it's kind of different. I have a few different things that, like, you know, is going on. I'm obviously outdoor with my family, so I know they're going to do something for me. And then I had a bunch of friends want to do a Zoom call and have drinks. So they're, like, delivering, like, one of my favorite beers to my house. And we're going to be able to just all go on Zoom and have drinks. And then I have, like, a little small handful of friends that I've been, like, quarantining like safely with after so many, you know, weeks of being quarantined that we'll see with still with social distancing, but gonna see them, which will be nice. And that's kind of it. I was supposed to be going to Paris. That was my plan. So anything else just feels kind of like eh. But I will say, all of my friends, whether they're allowed to see me because I've been quarantined with them or I'm not allowed to see me because I haven't been, everyone's like going above and beyond to make me feel special this week. And that just like, I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat friends who care. So it's, I'm very happy with how this week has been going so far.
The big question though, will you still go to Paris at some point?
Yes. I was supposed to go with 3 other of my girlfriends, and we made a pact that before I turn 31, if all is safe and all is well, don't know what it's going to look like, that we'll be going to Paris. It's just crazy. I've been to Europe so many times, but it's the one, like, one of the few places in Europe I just never ventured over to when I was over there. So I just really want to go. I know. It makes no sense. Like, I'd be, like, 2 hours away, and I was like, do I go to Paris? Oh, do I go to Switzerland? Oh, let's go to Switzerland. You know? I don't know. I just have never been. So I really want to. And so we're thinking next April. That gives it, like, a whole year to, like, hopefully be better. But obviously, if it's not, we're not going to be stupid and go. But the hope is
have
that.
Have a vaccine.
What?
Have a vaccine.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, if there's whatever it is, like if it's safe for us to go, we're going to go next April.
Lex, right now you're the girl who didn't go to Paris.
I am the girl who didn't go to Paris.
Oh no.
Oh my god. Wait, you know what? It's the hills.
Oh.
Lauren Conrad turned down an internship in Paris and
Anna. But you know what? That just means I'm like Lauren Conrad, so not too bad. It's fine.
I don't know what I would do. Well, so my birthday's actually coming up. I'm really kind of like somewhere down the middle. So it's like quarantine doesn't really drive me crazy. I'll probably just do what I normally do. I'll go lay outside. Might go play tennis. And just order all my favorite food. But I don't know. July could be a different story. Not that I think anything's going to be open, but I think hotels may be open based on what's being said and what's being heard. So if there's online check-in, maybe I'll just run through the lobby and go lock myself in a room and cry.
Yeah, my birthday's in August and it's also 30 this year. So I at least hope that hotels are doing online check-in so I can do something that is not inside my house.
I know.
If not, and it's not safe, I think I'm just going to postpone a year and go double hard next year.
Which is fine.
My thing is, I have no problem with skipping a birthday because that bill will come due next year. So it's like, I really, like, if it doesn't happen this year, I'll just, you know.
For you, like, you're turning 29, which is obviously another great milestone.
That does,
like,
not matter to me. Every birthday is 30 for me.
No.
Birthday, like, it's my first and my last.
I'm so excited to be 30. Like, I'm like.
My 30th birthday will not be any different than my 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. Through 29.
Oh no, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to close this, like, the 20s and, like, move on. Like, I'm so stoked about it. And it's like, well, everyone get on Zoom. It's fine.
I'm just ready to pop, you know?
Yeah.
So I suppose let's dive in then, huh?
Yeah, what are we diving into? I don't think
today we are doing some Q&A with Lex. Lex is hosting her birthday collection on the Lost Bros this week, which we're really excited about. She's going to talk a little bit about that. And in that vein, when she tells you about what's going on there, we are going to be interrogating her, shining the bright light in her eyes and really grilling her.
What's new?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Tell us about what this week is for you.
So this week is, it's kind of crazy. It's actually one of the products I've had in my head for, I would say not 9 months now, because whenever Frozen 2 first came out, I don't know how long ago that was. I don't know. But I had this idea for the shirt. It's the very first product I had, like, done in my head for the collection. And then from there, the collection just kind of morphed into what it is now. But basically that shirt that we announced yesterday, Show Yourself, was the foundation of the whole thing, which is why I wanted to announce it first. But the whole collection is centered around and created from a place of me really focusing on my mental health for the last year and my self-love. You know, a lot of people can see a certain image from, you know, Instagram and see these pretty squares and see, you know, all these pretty edits and how often I go to Disney and my two cute little boys. And, you know, like, you don't really know a person from that. And the things that I've had to walk through in my life, like, I'm not going to compare to someone else's story and say worse or better. Everyone has their own story. But for me, in my own walk, you know, have been really hard to walk through and very mentally draining, and did a lot of long-term damage that I didn't know was happening. So this past year is kind of, you know, where I came to my end of it all and realized I needed a lot of help and I needed a lot of, like, things to be, you know, be fixed. And so this past year, that's what I've been doing. You know, I'm very intentional on it. I'm very intentional on making time for myself now and choosing myself every day and choosing myself first, which is really hard because I'm naturally like I want to take care of people. That's like my first instinct. And so having to take care of myself first and choose myself first has been really hard this past year, but it's been really good. I feel a lot mentally, you know, healthier. And I think it's always a journey. I don't think anyone's ever done fully working on themselves and getting healthy. I think it's something you're supposed to always be doing and continue to be doing, because life is awful and life is crazy. And I feel like there's always going to be something that, you know, wants to mess you up and put you down. So from all of that birthed, you know, this collection, which is the I Am Me collection. And it's three piece different products that were inspired from three different female Disney characters who have impacted my story or my journey in some way. And yeah, they each mean something to me. And each time we announce them, I'm going to be sharing in, you know, very real detail of what it means to me and why it applies to my story and how it helped shape my story. And yeah, the whole, just, I love it. I'm really excited about it, honestly. And I've been kind of challenging everybody this week to be bold and be brave and be vulnerable at the same time, like with me, and share their story. Cause I just believe there's so much power in like sharing your truth and sharing what you've walked through. So others know that that they're not alone, that they're not like the only person in the world who feels this way. So I've been reading so many stories from different women who have been writing in, and it's been very emotional and very happy and encouraging and inspiring to read all their stories. It's been less than 24 hours. It's been awesome.
I love that.
Thanks. Me too.
All right. So do we get started? So the format of this is we have a couple different categories of questions from people who asked on our Instagram. You had kind of put it out there that you were doing this. Mm-hmm. And we have collected them. And now we are reading them. So the first topic is things regarding Disney. I will kick it off. This is from your fave, Hannah. And Hannah asks, what was your favorite moment from working at DAC?
I think I have – it's hard. I have different favorite memories for different reasons. Like, you know, there was one time we got to go ride Dinosaur after the park closed. One time that like one of our fellow cast members got engaged, so we did a huge big thing for them, and that was fun. But I think my favorite one is, and I might have shared this story before in the podcast, so I won't let it make it be too long, was one time there is this like elderly woman who fell and like kind of buzzed open her knee, and for some reason, I don't know why.
So what are you talking here?
Huh?
To what degree?
Oh, not too much detail.
Well, no, like, I mean, enough to where...
She had a scrape or she like
busted. Like, I don't do well with blood, and it was enough to where I was like, I don't want to look.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And oh, so, I'm like, already getting squeamish. I don't know if everyone around me was just like new CPs or what happened, but like, no one did anything. And I was outside like... Joe, it would be you. I was like outside stalking the condiment bar, or whatever. And so I kept like waiting for cast members around to like do something. So my hands were all full of stuff. So finally I was like, oh my gosh, like no one's helping this lady. And so I like literally just kind of like dropped everything. And I went over to her and asked her like what I could do, how I could help. And she's just like sitting there, like holding it in pain. So I like went over, we have a phone like in the back. So I went over and I was like, call like a leader, get them over here. Like we need help. And we called a leader. Literally no one's coming over. Like no, like it was like probably, it felt like 10 minutes. I'm sure it was only like 4 or 5 minutes, but like just no one was coming over. I just didn't know what to do. So I just decided like I was going to be superwoman and I was going to help this woman. And I just decided I ran. I just took off running all the way to the front of the park to the first aid place. And I just literally, me and my African outfit running through all the different lands, which you're not allowed to do first off. But I just didn't know what to do to help her. And like, no one was helping her. No one was doing anything.
Did they not like train you and say like, here's exactly what you do? Why didn't anyone know what to do?
I don't know. But even me, like I got trained and I didn't even fully remember, like, what am I supposed to do right now? Like even I didn't even really remember. I just knew I couldn't leave her sitting there on the floor with like this blood dripping down her knee. So I just literally ran all the way to the front, got first aid. And I got like some stuff, like some bandages and some like whatever, and then like ran all the way back. and like just was it something to like hold the bleeding for a little bit, and then finally like a coordinator showed up and I got to like hand it off from there. But like afterwards she like came and found me and was like, you have no idea like how thankful I am for you, like, you know, I know you didn't know what to do, just thank you for doing that. And like, I don't know, like that is like one of my favorite memories of like just me running through, you know, all the different lands in my African outfit, thinking if a leader sees me right now, am I going to get termed or am I going to say, good job, you helped a lady. I ended up getting one of the four keys thing. So it ended up being fine. They were proud of me.
Aww.
Yeah.
That was so heartwarming.
Yeah. So that's probably my favorite one.
Braver than I.
See, guys, I take care of people. I'm a caregiver.
Play games in the office. Like, I would just ask Joe things. Like, Joe, what would you do? One time, me and our friend who was working with us, Mary Grace, we were hanging out, and I was like, you know, we used to have like these really tall racks of shelves that were like 6 feet tall, and they'd have like shirts all over them. And we used to be like, yo, like, what if? You know, we'd come up with all these stupid what ifs. And one of them was like, it kind of grew out of a what if and turned into a we should. And it was like, her and I had the idea that I would lay on the floor and we would tip one of the shelves over onto me. Obviously not like push it and crush me. Like we would, you know, like stage a scene. And then like, I would like lay on the floor and basically MG would call Joe and be like freaking out. I'd be like, Joe, a shelf fell on Cody. He was like climbing on the first shelf to like get something down, he fell, he's unconscious, like you have to come over here, or we were gonna like wait for him to get to the house.
Dear God.
And then like we would like tell him every time we had an idea like that, and I would be like, what would you actually do? And he would just I would leave, like I wouldn't know what to do. I would just
I back. Truly would. Yeah, it's like I don't even know, like I would probably call someone else but not me.
Well, wrong loss bro right now.
Joe, what are you gonna do when you have a child?
That it's looking less likely.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, let's not.
Joe's houses are forever gonna be, you know, the pool when you go to the like a real beach club, not Disney, and then there's like the 18 and up pool, or there's the 18 and up hot tub. That's our houses.
Yes. All right. I'm going to take the next little group of questions here because I feel like they're like a little rapid fire, like Disney questions with Lex. All right. So the first one, which I already know the answer to, but oh, maybe I don't actually. Favorite park.
Good. How many times do we answer these questions?
Yeah, but then I feel like she gives other answers depending on the scenario. Like favorite park, like anywhere.
Oh, anywhere ever?
Yeah, I would say anywhere ever.
Oh, it's DCA.
Oh.
But my favorite park here is Hollywood Studios.
I knew that too.
Oh gosh, wait, no, maybe it's Disneyland.
Wait, yeah, you said Disneyland.
Yeah, it's Disneyland. Right. It's Disneyland. I'm crazy. It's Disneyland. It's Disneyland. I take it back.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer. Disneyland.
Okay. Favorite ride? I also know this one, I think.
Anywhere or here?
Anywhere. We're going to assume anywhere.
Okay. It's got to be Hyperspace Mountain, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's because – it's honestly the experience that I had on it because I just thought Hyperspace – when I first went to Disneyland, I just thought Hyperspace Mountain was just what they called Space Mountain. I didn't know –
What were they saying? I was like, I didn't know that was
– I didn't know it was Star Wars, the other thing. What's wrong with you? And so, like, when we turned the corner and the Star Wars music came up, I'm talking actual real tears. Like I was just so confused and so like taken back because I love Star Wars. And then just to have a whole Space Mountain ride with Star Wars. I just think I have just the most purest, most genuine, joyous, like happy memory from that. That is just like sealed the deal that it'll be my favorite ride forever.
Yeah, I remember we did that one in Disneyland when we went for D23 and I did not know it was Star Wars.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. Favorite show anywhere at Disney?
Well, they don't have it anymore. It used to be A Suitcase and a Dream over in DCA. Oh, yeah. And apparently they got rid of it and decided they wanted to break my heart. So it's fine. With that show gone, I would have to say Mickey and the Magical Map.
I only did that one once, and I think I did it like a couple years ago. But
that is definitively the best show.
It really is.
Wait, which one? Mickey and the Magical Map?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, but Suitcase and the Dream was just so good.
All right. Favorite meal, like dream meal that you'd have if you can get a meal for your birthday at Disney.
Oh, we'd be going back to California Grill like last
Disney
year.
Death row meal, if you will.
No, not death row meal, because that's different. And we don't talk like that. We don't say death row meals here. Definitely California Grill, like the exact same meal I had last year. The butternut squash, ravioli. And the sushi roll that I always forget the name of because you taught me it. And
Spicy Kazan,
thank you, Spicy Kazan. Yeah, I would have that literally in a heartbeat with a Tank 7. My God, I want to cry. That's what I want.
So good.
So good.
All right, and last question for now. Favorite Disney resort?
Okay, so it's like the campgrounds and the lodge, like, combined as one. Like I really can't pick between the two. For me, they're the both in the same, so just anything wilderness.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it. That was fun.
What a little like blitz of questions. I have one, Lex. I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but I'm curious. When was your first time to Disney, and when did you realize that you were like in love with Disney and everything that it was?
I mean, because I grew up here, I really don't remember my first time ever going, like what age I was. I know I have pictures of myself as like a baby, in the parks. And then I kind of start remembering memories when anywhere from like the ages 4 to 6, I have some memories of that. But honestly, I always knew I loved the parks. Like I always knew that was a big thing. And I always knew I loved the Disney movies, but Disney as a company and like everything they stand for and the history of it all, I didn't really fall in love with until I moved back here. It was kind of as an adult is when it really, really hit me that I was just so taken back with just the history and everything, but the parks were just in my backyard and we were pass holders. It just felt like everyone in Orlando goes here. Everyone, you know, everyone loves Disney. It just kind of felt like that. But it was until I was, when I moved back when I was 22, oh my God, 8 years ago. Oh my God, I want to cry. that's kind of when I really started to look at Disney as a whole with everything they do and just being really taken back and really kind of in awe of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Mostly as an adult.
Mostly as an adult. It just felt like part of my child. It just felt like part of everyone's childhood. Like the whole concept of like, you know, and shout out, you know, white privilege. Here it is right then and there in your face, you know, but like for me, it felt like, you know, I felt like everyone went to Disney. Like everyone had that opportunity. Like, oh, you have to save your whole year to come to, you know, like that wasn't a concept to me, you know, and it just was like, it was part of my life. It was just like what it was. So it was like, it just, I don't know. Like, it just didn't seem like this big thing I had to be in love with. It just felt so accessible. That makes sense. But then as an adult, you're just like, okay, like now I'm the one, you know, paying the bills. I'm the one doing this. And you're like, oh, wait, actually, like, you know, like this is not something everyone gets to do. And it's like, I have to get my pass. I have to pay for my kid's pass. And the food here is really expensive. And like, you know, all that, it'd be kind of like, it just became a different point of view. And I just started to see the company from different lenses, obviously from an adult, from a child.
I totally get that. I mean, like even now it's like a 30 or almost 30 year old, like being here, like it's very easy to like fall into the mindset that like Disney's right around the corner. So like, I understand that.
Right.
All right. It is me now. Your favorite memory on property?
God, my favorite memory on property. You know, there's two moments that stick out like the actual most. It's the first time I went to Disneyland and like actually walking down Main Street. Like that's a feeling and a memory I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget. And I took my time. Like I didn't just walk down Main Street and like go to the castle and see it. I was probably on Main Street for about half an hour, just looking at everything and just taking it all in. Like I didn't want that first like walkthrough to end. I just wanted to like really see everything. And then also the first time I took my my kids to Magic Kingdom, I always had a plan that I didn't want to take them until they were, I think, 3 or 4, maybe they were 3. I forget what it was, because I wanted them to have some sort of like memory of it, of like their first time. And I also wanted to like them to like actually be excited about the rides and not just look around like deers in a headlight. And so I was like having to wait. I moved back to Florida when the boys were 1.5 years. So like having to wait like till they were 3 for 1.5 years was really, really hard of like, oh my God, Disney's in my backyard and I just am not taking my kids to Disney. So eventually I caved when they were like 2.5 and I took them to Epcot. And I was like, this feels like the least Disney like park. We'll just go here. And so that was technically their first trip to Disney was Epcot. But then for their 3rd birthday, I got them Very Merry tickets. We went and stayed at the cabins and at the campgrounds. And they, I just remember them walking into Magic Kingdom, riding Dumbo. I have videos of that and I cry every single time. It is the most purest, most amazing thing in the world. I'll have to show you guys one day. I mean, not that I don't know if you care about, you know, seeing 3-year-olds ride Dumbo, but it's really cute.
We would love to see that.
It's really cute. Whatever.
All right. Now, I know your favorite park, you said if you could be anywhere, would be Disneyland. But if the parks were open right now, what park would you want to visit first, like most?
Disneyland.
Still?
Still. Disneyland, yeah. Absolutely.
Very valid. Very, very valid.
Oh, yeah.
So straightforward.
It's just a park that I feel the most happiest in.
So I think we're going to jump from, like, Disney-exclusive questions to some work-related stuff. Does that sound fun, Lex?
It does.
So the people want to know, what gets you in your creative zone? And do you get creative blocks? How do you handle them?
Yes, definitely get creative blocks. I think, you know, over the past, like, you know, 3.5 years of working with you guys, like, we, you know, we figured out that we all are creative and find our creative, like, you know, golden spot in, like, different ways. And like, I have a really hard time like being in a creative spot where I'm like forced to be creative. Like I work the best, honestly, when I'm like eating lunch or something and I see something from like scrolling the internet and something pops in my head and I'm like, oh my God, I just had a brain blast. And I'll like go straight to my notepad or something and start like jotting it down. But I have the hardest time when it's like, all right, we need something for this. We need this. We need that. And it's like, you know, go do it. Like that's like the hardest way for me to be creative. And I've learned to get really good at it. So I appreciate that. Like, you know, I've had the opportunity to kind of stretch that muscle over the past 3.5 years because I'm a lot better at it. At like, okay, here's what we need. Now go be creative and, you know, figure something out. So I'm a lot better at it, but you know, I'm such like, I kind of take so much in that like that's like I pull from so many different things. Like Cody lent me this book called Steal Like an Artist. Is that what it's called, Cody?
How to Steal Like an Artist.
How to Steal Like an Artist, yeah. And it was just like it I just related to it so much because his whole thing is that like there really is no ever an original idea. Like we're all like pulling from each other. We're all being inspired from different ideas that have been out there, you know, different products that have been out there, different creative things that have been out there. And that's kind of how I'm the most creative is honestly seeing other people, you know, creativeness, being inspired by other people and kind of pulling from that and, you know, making it different, making it me, obviously, because everyone's so different in their how they create. But that's really how my number one way is I create is that I pull inspiration from other people.
I love that. I think that that's, I mean, I have also read a lot of the different books that Cody promotes, and I think that you're exactly right. Like, we're all working from the same stuff, and that's, I think, where we're supposed to be inspired from.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And Caroline, because there's 2 A's, like that, and sorry, bit. Randy. Caroline Hudson asks, how you became, she would like to know more about how you became a Disney influencer slash more background on how the Pixie Traveler started.
Oh gosh. I feel like I've shared this so many times, but I always forget that we're like constantly like gaining new friends and they don't know, that. So for anyone who's listening, they know the story. I'm sorry, but here's a refresher. When I moved back, I moved to Kansas City for school, and that's where, I, you know, had my kids and got married and then moved back because of that. At the time, husband got a different job here in Florida, and it worked out great because my family was here and I was going to have help with the kids, you know, because who's a 21-year-old having twins, you know, didn't expect that. And so definitely having help was good. And so I just started to like, you know, I didn't want to take the boys to the parks right away. So I just started going myself, you know, whenever I had the free time to go to the parks. And I would post pictures of, you know, just Disney in general. And then I started to see all these like Disney shops and these different like Disney accounts start like liking my photos, because obviously I was using the hashtags. That's what, you know, everyone does, and everyone did, especially back then, you know, it was hashtag Disney World, hashtag whatever. And I was just like, what are all of these, like these accounts, and what are all these like Disney shops? Like, what is this? And I found this like bubble, like this world of Disney Instagram accounts that I had never like known of. I had no idea existed. And at the time there wasn't that many, but there was still a good handful of like accounts that like enough to catch my attention of like, what is this world? And so I started following all of them just because I was like, this is so fun, I love Disney. But didn't start my new account. I was still posting, you know, all my fun Disney stuff along with my other normal life stuff on my personal account. And you know, then all of the comments from all my friends started pouring in of like, we get it, you love Disney, we get it, you go to Disney, like, oh my God, like how much are you going to throw that in our face? Like they're joking, but probably not joking. Just like every time I posted one, it was like, oh, another Disney picture. So I just kind of was like, you know what? Like there's this group of people that love Disney and they get to post Disney all the time. And all their following is like people who love Disney. So I'm just going to start an account, and I'm going to start a different account that I get to post Disney. And that way all my friends can follow it if they want to see Disney content. But if they don't care about Disney content, then they don't have to follow it because they can follow my personal. And so I just did it. I literally it was supposed to be like a little like kind of diary log. That's like kind of all it was ever supposed to be. So then when my kids turned 3, I started going to the parks with them. And so then like all the like Disney mom bloggers started coming out and started following me there. And it like kind of turned into originally kind of like a Disney like mom tip page. And then, you know, because at the time I was, you know, only 24, I think I still had a connection to younger girls and girls more like my age too that didn't have kids. And so cats were kind of like Disney fashion came into play. And it honestly just kind of grew from that. It was never meant to be an influencer thought leader account. It was just meant to be like a diary log. And then I remember it was D3Ts. They were the very first company to reach out to me to send me a product to promote it for them. And I was just like, on cloud 9 of like, this exists, like they're gonna give me free product to like wear in the parks, you know. And that was really, really, really cool. And so then that kind of started, and so then from there other shops started seeing that I was doing that, and so then other shops started working with me, and it just kind of snowballed effect into what it is today.
That's awesome. All right. So what would you say is your biggest advice for someone who wants to like create their own personal brand?
I feel like that's a good segue from the last one.
Yeah. I think the number one advice I would give is that, like, I mean, everyone is out there, you know, doing the same thing. We all love Disney. We're all going to Disney. We're all posting about Disney. Or if it's not Disney, if it's fashion, we're, you know, if you're in the fashion world, everyone's posting about fashion. Everyone's, you know, doing that thing, or you're a homemaker. Like, you know, you're not going to be the only person ever doing that. So I think for me, what became important was that if they're following my account, it shouldn't just be because they love Disney, but that they relate to me and they connect to me and who I am. So I kind of just like, you know, kind of started to put myself out there and, you know, sharing more personal things about myself, being very true to who I was. You know, there's a lot of accounts out there who I love and I follow who post very like high fashion Disney, but I don't wear that stuff to the parks. You know, I'm, you know, give me a cute tee and some shorts and some Vans and some ears. And that's what you'll find me like wearing at the parks. And so even though I love to follow it and it was like something that like inspired me, I would never wear it for me in the parks. And so I didn't want to put myself in that category and take pictures of that if it's something that wasn't true to myself. And so, you know, like that's just what you'll find me, you know, wearing. And so I think it was just like being very true to who I was and, you know, existing in a vein that like so many other people exist in. But there's only one you. There's only one me out there. No one else can have the account I have because it's me. And I could never have an account that someone else has because that's them. And I just think that that's so unique that like we can exist in the same bubble, in the same vein, but all of our accounts can look and feel so different because there's only one me, one you. And so I think that's just kind of what I always focused in on, which was, you know, not ever posting something that wasn't true to myself. And I feel like that's the best brand you can build for yourself is you. Like, you know, find a vein that fits what you want to speak about and fits what you want to post about, but then just literally brand yourself as you. And that's what's worked for me. And that's what keeps me like loving the Pixie Traveler.
I love that.
I don't think anyone realizes that when you do things that aren't all the way you, that's when you have to start like acting forever. And like, that's why you see like influencers get on the internet talking about like how burnt out they are, or like, they're like, I'm doing this massive change. Like the internet took over my life and like I was someone I didn't want to be. And it's like, you hear all those things because like people don't commit from the beginning to like, I'm good enough to just be who I am. And like, if you like it, great. If you don't, also great.
Yeah. And I've been there. Like, I remember I still have it saved on my highlights and my stories on my page. You know, I've been there. I've been where I would accept any free product ever because I just felt, you know, cool, or I felt like, wow, like I'm, you know, I'm getting free product. I must be doing something right, you know. And there's times I would promote product that I wasn't fully behind or I actually wouldn't really use. And, you know, like I've definitely have been there. I know that struggle. I know how easy it can be to fall into like the excitement of that whole world. But, you know, I think it was about probably 2 years ago, when I like realized that like, I didn't like that. Like I wasn't having fun. Like it was no longer like, this is not enjoyable. Like I wasn't burnt out. I was never like that because it was, you know, I was still very me. But like, I just wasn't as fun. And I just, I, you know, and I felt kind of fake. I felt kind of like I was lying to my following and I didn't really like that. And I wanted, you know, I did a bunch of research on thought leadership and an influencer, which I have a blog that I'm writing that will be posted on Saturday for everyone to read. And when I did more research on that, I was just like, you know, a thought leader is a trusted source. And that's like, when I read that phrase, I was like, that's what I want to be. Like, I want to be someone that people like, yes, they want to come follow because it's fun, pretty Disney content, but they know that I'm a trusted source. And that if I'm ever promoting something to them, if I'm ever giving them advice on something, it's trusted. It's my genuine opinion. And it just kind of shifted my whole like, you know, the way I viewed everything. And since then it's been, I love the every single second that I get to work on the Pixie Traveler.
So this like may tie into what you're talking about, but kind of like phrased it a little bit differently. What is one thing that you wish that you knew before you started your career?
Oh gosh. It's hard because, well, career as in just what I'm doing now or career or as Pixie Traveler?
Either or both.
Career for like, I mean, my career is now, you know, with you guys. I wish, and I think this is just myself in general in all areas of my life, but I wish I would have told myself to, I tend to want to be the best at my job, but then I tend to be so afraid that I'm not, that I shy away from putting in the hard work to be better at my job. And I wish I would have allowed myself the freedom to fail and learn. And I feel like I would have put in a lot more hours in the beginning at getting better and learning more and not being afraid to ask questions of like, okay, can, you know, Colton and Cody, can you guys teach me this? Like, I don't really know what this is. And I was so afraid to like not be good at my job. It like turned into, I'm now too afraid to learn about it because I'm going to fail. And so I'm just going to fake it till I make it. And I wish I would have told myself, give your grace. Like failure is what's going to lead you to success. You're not like, you have to fail in order to get there. This is how you learn. It's how you grow. And I wish I would have told myself that and like, you know, known that like, you know, I had two great partners who were, you know, would have been there with me, allowing me to fail, allowing me to learn. I think I was just so, you know, also my mental health was really bad at the time. Just so afraid of failing, just so afraid of messing up and not being good that I wish I would have given myself that grace. For Pixie Traveler, I wish I would have, you know, obviously kind of falling into the thought leader and influencer thing, you know, kind of say that you're going to regret posting things just because you got a free product. You're going to regret, you know, that feeling of it may feel cool now because all your followers are going to see you got this, you know, free whatever brand bag that, you know, I won't mention because the brand is great, but for me, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but all my following would see how cool I am that I got this free bag, but how very not good it felt on the inside to post about it. I wish I would have told myself like, you're going to regret that. You're going to wish that you hadn't lied to your following. So I think those two things was what I would tell myself. If I could go back.
I think that's great advice for yourself.
Oh yeah. I mean like, and I think it's like applicable to everything that you'll do in the future too.
Could you guys like feel that when I first started? Did I hide it well?
I think that I knew that you were nervous to like disappoint us. I just didn't know how to relay to you that like Cody and I also didn't really know what we were doing.
And then, so I'm going to round out the last of the work questions here. What is your favorite thing to do at the Lost Bros? Like, what's your favorite, I guess, what's your favorite part of the job as far as things that you do?
I mean, I feel like the first thing that comes to mind, because it's what I've loved the most, is seeing a product that I create, you know, mostly by myself from beginning to end, from, you know, the thought in my head to having the physical product in hand. Like, that is such a rewarding feeling, and I love that. But honestly, recently, it's kind of switched into people we work with, into you know, being a good leader for them and making sure that they know they're taken care of and they're cared for. And so I feel like I've been spending a lot more time connecting with, you know, our employees, and I have loved every second of that. I love every second of whatever those employees like need from me, like getting to be a listening ear and finding a way that we can help solve whatever problem is at hand, or we can help make something better for them, or, you know, even the hard conversations of like, okay, well, you know, like this needs to be better. Like, I've so enjoyed that personal one-on-one relationship with our employees and like helping manage that and helping them grow, and it's helped me grow as a leader. And that has honestly been my favorite thing recently about the Lost Bros.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, Joe, if you ever want to talk to me, you can.
Anyway, next question. All right. Now we're going to switch things over into the more personal and juicy questions of the hour.
Hold on. Let me grab my tea.
First question. How is raising adorable twins during these very, very trying times?
You know, I feel very, very, very lucky, and I know that I am. I only live about half an hour from my parents, and they still live in the childhood house I grew up in, and there's five siblings. So you can imagine that it needs to be a big house with lots of space and room. And we have a pool. So I, you know, after my parents did the 2 weeks of quarantine, I did the 2 weeks of quarantine, and we knew that we were safe and all good. you know, I packed everything up and I've been here ever since. And, you know, the kids are with their dad half the time, but then the other half the time they're here with me. And it's so much easier being in this house than it was those first 2 weeks where we were in my very, very, very small two bedroom apartment. So it's honestly been, I feel very, very lucky like that I, you know, I have access to this because it just has been very, very helpful to have, you know, even just to have two other people around to like help, you know, entertain the kids right. has been, gosh, so helpful because those first 2 weeks, I just felt like, you know, everyone, you know, moms know this, mommy shame. I felt like I was supposed to like give my kids the best experience during this quarantine time, but also educate them during this quarantine time. And I was like putting so much pressure on myself to like have their schedules be perfect and everything just be this like flawless, seamless flow of a day. And every day was a new day and we were going to do something new and exciting every day. I'm sorry if there are moms doing it out there still, good job. I look up to you, but I cannot do that. I just can't. And having, you know, my parents here and being able to be in a bigger home with the pool and there's like we live on like an acre and a half of land. So lots of like room for them to run around and play sports. And like, it's just, oh my gosh, I feel very lucky and I know that I'm very lucky. So very easy.
That's awesome. How's online school been going?
Our teachers should be paid $1 million a year. it's the worst thing I've ever had to do with them. Like, honestly, I think I'd go back to potty training before I ever volunteered to be a teacher again. It's awful. It's truly horrible. And you know what? Like, our school has a great setup. The teachers have been great. They're so like they're in contact with us every day. They're giving us all their work. You know, one of the boys' teachers does a weekly like Zoom call with all the classmates so they all can like connect and talk and like that's so great. You like our teach, like, they're still going above and beyond, like still, but just those 3 hours a day that I have to do work with them, you know, all those dark thoughts of should I ever become a mom comes into your head because oh my God. It's terrible. It's the worst. I hate it. So everyone, if you know a teacher, dear God, buy them like a gift card or something because they just do not get what they deserve. I have so much respect for them.
maybe on like a lighter note, if kind of like an interview question, if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would you choose, Lex?
Oh, this is a good question. I wonder if you guys could guess.
Lauren Conrad.
Lauren Conrad is definitely one of them.
Yes.
She is.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is definitely one of them.
All right, Cody, your turn.
Cody.
Last year you would have said Lizzo, but I don't know about like Lizzo. No.
No, not Lizzo. But if you were to really think of it, you would know.
Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother.
You're so close. I would choose.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris.
No, I would choose to actually meet the creators.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's actually two of them. So I would think it's in their name is Craig Thomas and Carter Bay or Carter Bays. So there's two of them. So we're going to say four people, but we're going to mix those two into one. I would choose to meet them. Honestly, I think
we're alchemists now.
Huh?
We're alchemists now.
I know. Like I feel like that story like just impacted and shaped my life so much. I don't know how I could not like put them on that list of like sitting there and just even thanking them. But also I have to throw out there a notable mention, probably the 21 Pilots as well, just because that band saved my brother's life. And if I could just hug them and say thank you, I would love to do that. So there you go. I just listed a bunch of people.
I'll be honest. I'm impressed that Cody, Joe, and I got so close.
You really did. You guys are so good. You know me.
Ask us your favorite rides at Disney and we'll flop.
But ask who I want to meet with, have dinner with when there's literally an endless amount of possibilities you guys get.
all right. What is the number one thing you would tell yourself 5 years ago, but now it's not work related?
Oh. I think that you're never fully done working on yourself. I felt like after a certain point of my age, like I was supposed to have it all together, you know, like, you know, at the time I, you know, had a marriage, had kids, like, you know, I thought my life was supposed to look a certain way. And I think like when, you know, when it didn't go that way, you know, which I'm thankful for that it didn't go that way, I felt like a failure because I felt like now I had to start from scratch and I felt like there was so much I had to work on. And honestly, like I'm hoping 5 years from now that I still feel there's so much I have to work on. There's still so much that I want to change and be better at and do better and be healthier at. I hope I'm always, always, always don't ever feel like I have it all figured out. I don't ever feel that I like finally like made it to where I'm supposed to be in life. But I feel like I always want to be looking towards the next of how can I better myself. And I feel like I wish I would have told myself that. But, like, give yourself the grace to do that because you should never end up in the I did it, I made it. Like, I just feel like life is always going to be turning. And so how could you ever fully be done working on yourself?
I agree.
Do you, Joe? Do you have things you need to fix? Do you have things you need to work on?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what, though. No, probably okay. Nothing crazy. Maybe just like.
You know what? We are going to circle back on that.
Anyway, the people want to know, or Ashley M. Langford, how is your co-parenting relationship with your ex?
Well, I was going to share, I'm sure, a little bit about this on Sunday. And this week is all about being brave and being vulnerable and real. It's really bad. You know, I tried for a long time to have it be the best it could be for the boys. I really had this, like, I guess, false idea of like this perfect blended family of like what it could be, you know, because he remarried and, you know, is starting a new family. And I had this idea of, you know, we could all be this happy blended family where the boys feel all this love and, you know, it's what I wanted. And it didn't go that way. And I, you know, I had to accept that that wasn't going to be part of my story. And it's really not good. And that's a big part of my journey and a big thing that affected my mental health and the way I viewed myself. The way I viewed myself as a mom, I felt like I failed my kids by not being able to achieve that goal. But I know that's not true. But yeah, it's really not good, in all honesty. But that's okay. The boys are loved by two parents who love them very much, and that's what matters.
Very true.
Yeah.
All right.
Those boys are surrounded by love. So, in the rotation of these questions, I get to make it light again.
That's why I'm making it dark all the time.
Me to ask the question, and I was about because the next one is just so.
So I'm just gonna like lead with that. This is much lighter. Lex, how do you fix your hair with waves?
I swear, I need to just put this on YouTube. Like, I need to put this on YouTube and also my how to tie a knot in my shirt because these are the two number one questions I get asked more than anything. It's so funny. I tell everyone who asks me this, I can give you my advice and my tips, but if you don't have my exact hair texture, it's going to look different. And so I always want to say that first, that like, because I used to like follow girls who would have like these perfect waves and I would try to get them and I'd follow their tips, follow their advice, and my hair never turned out that way. And I was like, what the heck? Like, you're a liar. Like, this does not work. But it's because my hair is really naturally wavy and frizzy. It's coarse. It's really poofy and has a mind of its own. So it tends to hold curl very, very, very well. So I'll give you the quick little steps, but just keep in mind it will look different on if you have different hair texture. I always air dry it because I feel like I like the look of natural waves and the perfectly curled waves. So I always air dry it. And I use an air dry cream. From Kristen S. And then I go in with I used to use a 1-inch wand, but now I use a 1.5-inch, not wand, a curling iron. And I use a 1.5-inch now. And I just grab pieces. I never section it out. I never like section into like perfect little areas. I always just grab random pieces and I just will wave, curl the whole thing until it's all done. And I don't ever brush through the curls until it's at the very, very, very end. And once it's all done, I take some like texturing balm and I run my fingers through it and I piece it, like texturing, like piecing, and I just like kind of mess it all up. And that's literally it. That's what I do. And everyone should buy Kristen S products because her hair stuff is the best. I only use her.
Thank you so much for revealing your secrets.
And you're welcome, boys.
I'll try it out next time I do my hair.
Joe, but remember, if you have different hair texture, it's not going to work.
Oh, I promise I will yell at you.
All right. And I am finishing up here. This is the last question.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yes. What is one thing? What is one of your favorite things to do that is not related to Disney work or social media?
Go to a new city and try a new local coffee shop. That is my favorite thing in the entire world.
Boom.
That's it. Right then and there. I'll bring a book and I could be there for probably 3 or 4 hours and I try 3 or 4 different coffees while I'm there. Like usually I'll try an espresso. I'll try like a pour over. I'll try like a really sweet drink. So I get to have the whole experience of the coffee shop. Favorite thing in the world.
Love that.
Yeah. That was so fun. How'd I do, guys? How was it?
I thought it was great. I know so much more about you now.
Me too. That was great.
I can't wait to do mine.
Yeah, I want to do me for my birthday week too.
We'll just make it a tradition. Birthday week. This is what we do.
Joe, you'll have to wait a year, but
I know. That's okay.
It's fine. You're the last person I want to hear from anyway, so it's fine.
Oh my god.
Joe and I will take questions together on my birthday. I'll answer questions for him, and he answers questions for me.
I love that.
That's cute.
I think we have something. I think we have something here.
Super cute.
All right. Well, that about wraps us up on Lex's interrogation / Q&A. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions. There are so many good ones. They all drew a lot of honesty, and I think that's amazing. I think Lex is amazing for being able to talk about half the things she talks about so publicly. And so I think this is a really good podcast. I think there's a really, really good message this week in what's going on the Lost Bros, and it's really different than what we normally do, but I think it's a very good different. So I hope you guys enjoyed today. I hope you guys check out her collection that's announcing all this week and releasing on Monday. And we will see you next week. That's what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to just turn this over to Lex and let her close us out for real.
And don't forget to use our discount code Oh Boy the Podcast. Oh Boy the Podcast. And just everyone who sent in questions, thank you so much. I'm glad that there's people out there who even care to know stuff like this. And you know, just I want to encourage everyone to keep, you know, going on with my challenge this week of sharing your story and sharing your truth. And, you know, no matter how ugly and raw it is, like share it with the world, because I think there's people out there who can really learn from it and grow from it. And, you know, always, you know, when you're sharing your truth, always end it with a reminder to those following you that you are enough exactly as is, exactly in your flaws. You are enough with exactly how your story is. So I hope to see and read more of those stories. Thank you, Cody, Colton, and Joe, for making this all about me. I love you guys. And we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. The fireworks begin. I hear it in my head.